For the most part, you should have two different modes when you're trying to speed the ball up. You're either trying to deliberately hit the person with the ball, which is something that pros do. High five O's do this, and they're pretty accurate with it. And I think that it's definitely something that, you know, maybe you don't want to do it in a rec. Maybe you do. In tournaments, you definitely are, you know, it's allowed. It's socially acceptable by all means. Pros do it to each other all the time. But that's the only mode that I think 4-0s, from what I've seen, are speeding the ball up. For whatever reason, they're just kind of aiming right at the person, just hitting it hard, is not really with any particular spot to hit on the person in mind or area to go. And when you're trying to speed the ball up, of those two modes, one is, like I just said, just trying to hit the ball at the person. But what you should be doing more often is trying to make the speed up. We are doing a massive giveaway. This is probably one of the biggest giveaways that for me personally, this is the biggest giveaway I've ever done. One of the biggest that I've seen in pickleball so far. It's gonna be just us, just me and my team with my newsletter, my YouTube channel. And what we're doing is we're going to be giving away a few different things, but the main thing that we're giving away is the winner, and I think the second place winner also, will have free 30-minute virtual coaching sessions with me. And on top of that, they can send me their film, and me and my team will review their film and give them private, personalized advice, and it's all for free. We've done this one time before where there was a guy that won the giveaway. They got a 30-minute virtual coaching session with me and a full page, I think it was actually maybe 2 pages of detailed notes just discussing their game, everything that they could work on, and it took them to the next level. I mean, I still actually am speaking to him now. It's helped them so much. So I really would encourage you to sign up for this giveaway, because what's at stake is great. We're going to be posting a flyer about it, but here's how you enter. From the day this podcast is released, we're going to be monitoring everyone who is a new subscriber. And if you've already subscribed, then that's fine. You're into the giveaway as long as you like the post, which we will be posting on Instagram from my Instagram account. But the way to enter the giveaway is to subscribe to the newsletter and follow me on Instagram. And if you have already done both of those things, then when we make this Instagram post, which will be about a day after this podcast release, just comment, "Hey guys, I'm already subscribed, I'm already following, please enter me into the giveaway," and we will make sure that we enter you in. But if you have not, then make sure to follow and subscribe and you will be entered into the giveaway. This is going to be an awesome giveaway, so make sure to sign up. Okay, so welcome to another episode of the James Ignatowicz Show. We are going to get right into it because there's a very, very important topic that we're going to talk about today, which is, what is the most common mistake that amateur players make when they are speeding the ball up? So I'm somebody who loves to speed the ball up. I think I've made most of my career off of speeding the ball up, being as aggressive as I possibly can. And when I go to these clinics, when I watch amateur pickleball at the venues, or even, you know, 5-0s for that matter, you'll see a lot of players making this common mistake when they speed the ball up, which is that they're trying to hit the speed up too hard. So for the most part, if you see somebody when they're about to speed the ball up, get really low with their legs, they're loading up, they look like they're about to hit the ball as hard as they possibly can, you can pretty safely get ready to just leave that ball, just turn your shoulders, get skinny, so to speak, get skinny and just avoid that ball, and it's probably going to go out. And I think that's something that 5-0s understand, even some 4-5s understand that. But at the 4-0 level, nobody is trying to really get out of the way of the ball, and people are trying to hit their speed ups way too hard. They're way too focused on the whole speed part of the speed up. So that was something that I've noticed. I think for the most part, you should have two different modes when you're trying to speed the ball up. You're either trying to deliberately hit the person with the ball, which is something that pros do. High 5-0s do this, and they're pretty accurate with it. And I think that it's definitely something that, you know, maybe you don't want to do it in a rec. Maybe you do. In tournaments, you definitely are, you know, it's allowed. It's socially acceptable by all means. Pros do it to each other all the time. I definitely have been hit a lot, and I've hit other people a lot. But that's the only mode that I think 4-0s, from what I've seen, are speeding the ball up. For whatever reason, they're just kind of aiming right at the person, just hitting it hard, as, you know, not really with any particular spot to hit on the person in mind or area to go. And ultimately, when you're trying to speed the ball up, of those two modes, one is, like I just said, just trying to hit the ball at the person. But what you should be doing more often is trying to make the speed up. So I know it sounds like a crazy concept, but the speed up should be going in for the most part. Because as you get better, if most of your speed ups are going out, then most of your speed ups aren't going to work. Because if somebody told me that the person I was playing, 60% of their speed ups are going to go out, well, then I would just leave all of their speed ups. I would just get out of the way of all their speed ups and I would win most of the points. So there's a certain point where you can just kind of be aimlessly crushing your speed ups. But as you get better and better and go up in levels, it's not really going to fly. So I think that you should be trying to pick spots. And really, when you're hitting speed ups, the speed that you hit the speed up at isn't necessarily as important as the spot and the area, the target area of the other person when you are hitting that speed up, which will then make their counterattack, their volley back at you slower. So everybody's got a different area where they maybe don't feel comfortable hitting their volleys or counters as hard. You know, for example, some people, if they have a one-handed backhand counter, they can hit it pretty hard at their chest, and then they go out here and they're a little weaker. So instead of trying to just crush it at their chest every time, you could hit a speed up to their, to this area. And it doesn't have to be that hard. It doesn't have to be so special, but you hit the speed up to their, weak spot, so to speak, or area where they're not going to generate a super hard counter. And then that counter will come back pretty soft. And then you can hit the next one for a winner. So speed ups, for the most part, they're setup shots. Like, speed ups aren't really meant to win the point. And at the highest levels, you're not going to win the point with your speed up for the most part. Most of my speed ups aren't winners. There's going to be a ball that comes back. There might be two balls that come back. They're just kind of set up spots. And sometimes it's definitely something where I'm not going for broke on it. And I'm trying to set myself up to then hit a good recounter, which is the ball that is following the speed up. So that would be my advice to you guys, would just be try to find a spot where you feel like your opponent isn't necessarily going to hit a hard volley. So, it depends on the person. If somebody's got a two-handed backhand and they're only hitting two-handed backhands for their backhand volley, then it's probably going to be right in their chest area because they kind of get jammed. But if it's a person that has a one-handed backhand volley, then right at their chest, they're probably fine. And then out here, they are maybe not as fine. Maybe it's a little bit tougher. So it depends on the person. I think getting a feel for your opponent is a great way to do that. Another spot where players might have a pretty weak backhand counter is actually up here. So if you kind of hit a high speed up to their backhand, if they have a one-handed backhand, sometimes it's tough for them to hit a hard counter that way. So you can definitely do that. I mean, when I mess around and play with 4-5s and 5-0s at my camps, I'll kind of look for spots on players where the ball's not going to come back as hard, and I'll just speed it up a lot to those spots. And, if they get it back, I'm okay. They're not crushing it. I can handle that next ball because they're not really hitting that speed up that hard. And then one out of every three, they'll miss the counter. So I'll be fine. That's definitely a good way to look at speeding the ball up. And then in that same vein, when you're counterattacking, I think it's definitely worthwhile to try to get comfortable hitting pretty powerful counterattacks from pretty much every spot around your body. So you're not going to be able to crush every counterattack, but if you're somebody where, if the ball goes right at your chest, you feel like you're just going to reset that ball every time, or if it goes, here for some reason, you feel like you want to just reset that every time, I would definitely try to at least develop the ability to hit a pretty good counter from everywhere. You're not going to be able to crush every ball, like I said, but if you're somebody that can only reset the ball from a certain spot, as you get better, players will be able to find that spot. So that's something I would definitely recommend as it relates to countering the ball, which is just volleying the ball off of speed ups that people hit to you. Try to be able to hit hard counters or at least decent counters from everywhere. So on this same topic of speed ups, we're going to talk a little bit more about the V or the triangle, which is that when you speed up from the outside of the court and then you go across the body of the person in front of you, which basically means you're speeding up from out here, you're right at the person, then most of those balls are going to be coming back toward the middle. So for me, my favorite speed up is I'll be wide to my backhand on the left side of the court, and I'll speed it up right at that person in front of me who is on the right side of the court, in front of me. And then I'm going to get ready to take maybe a step to my right or even two steps to my right so that I can get that ball in the middle because that's where it's probably going to go. Right? Lefty or righty, doesn't really matter. The momentum of the ball is going to carry that one toward the middle. And if you're honestly, you know, pickleball is so much about anticipation. And if you have an idea, just a general idea of where the ball is going to go, that's going to set you apart from so many players, because so many players just have no idea. They'll just speed up the ball and then just react to the ball. And there is sort of a place for that. I mean, if people are doing tricky things with their paddle, you don't really want to be following the paddle as much as the ball. And it's important to always be looking at the ball. But having a general, you know, general understanding of where is this ball probably going to go is going to take you a long way. So in my newsletter, which we have released now for the third time, we're actually nearing 10,000 subscribers already. Everybody's been loving the newsletter. We've got so much positive feedback. We're actually going to talk about certain areas where, you know, let's say you speed it up in this area, it's probably going to come back here. Or if they're in this area of the court and they're going to speed it up at you, the most likely spot for it to go is X or Y or Z, right? So that's super important. And that was something that I think really made me go from a 5.5 to like a pro, was just getting that anticipation down. So we're going to do a lot of that coverage in the newsletter. So we're going to be dropping that link. That link is in my Instagram bio. I mean, I talk about it all the time. It's just the James Ignatowich newsletter. And actually, we're going to be, I plug it way too much, so I don't need to tell you where to find it. You probably know where to find it. But if you don't know where to find it, you can go to my Instagram bio and you can click on the link. It's right there. So that's one thing. Another thing is, on my YouTube channel, we're going to do a lot of video representations of those shots. So you can go to my YouTube channel, which is just James Ignatowich Pickleball. And if you want to find it, because it's weird, sometimes like you search James Ignatowich Pickleball and you don't find my YouTube channel. It just goes to like a match that I've played or one of these podcasts. So if you want to find it, you can go to one of my past, you know, Selkirk podcasts, just like this one that I'm doing right here. And in the comments, I'm going to be replying to all of the comments with that channel. So you can click on that channel. And yeah, we've got like above 10,000 views on a couple posts. People are liking it because I think the visual representations are very, very helpful. But anyway, so one other aspect of speeding the ball up is if you are countering a speed up, and this is very important because this is something I learned way too late. If you are countering a speed up, which means somebody is about to speed the ball up at you and you are trying to block or trying to volley and counter the ball back, if they are speeding it up at you from wide in the court, so very close to the sideline, and the ball is low, they're not able to hit the down the line speed up very hard. So you don't really have to be, you know, covering that line. So let's say you're on the left and you're a righty, like me. If my opponent has a wide forehand speed up over there on the sideline and they're about to speed it up at me, I'm not really ready for my two-handed backhand on the sideline because they can't hit that ball that hard because it's low, and going directly down the line is the lowest amount of court, as we've talked about, the geometry of the court. You can go cross court way harder than you can go right down the line. Plus, it's the highest part of the net on the sideline. So it is impossible to hit a low speed up from sideline over the net to the sideline. So you can kind of just be ready at your body or ready for even, you know, your forehand area. And then if it does go down the line, you'll have enough time to switch to your two-handed backhand. So yeah, I've seen way too many people kind of just covering the line. And again, you are taught to cover the line. I'm sure you've been taught this by your coach or somewhere in the clinic. You know, you're taught if the ball is over there on the sideline, you cover the line and then your partner covers the middle. They call that the X, and I totally agree with the X, but you should be more ready for this ball kind of in between your shoulders or even to the forehand, because if they do go down the line, if the speed up is low, only if the ball is low, they cannot hit that ball that hard. It's the highest part of the net. It's the lowest amount of court. So yeah, I think that's it. Well, I got to give you guys a few more minutes. I mean, we're only at 12 minutes. I've had people in the comments saying, James, it's weird. I've had people saying I talk too much, and then I've had people saying that the podcasts are too short. So I don't know what to do. I should probably just focus on myself. But you know, I had another thing, another question. It was about the point ending overhead. So how do you end the point with the overhead? And this is such a nuanced question, but I'll tell you the most common mistake, which is people are hitting their overheads and they're making them bounce too short in the court. So if there's anything that I would want you to remember from this podcast, the pickleball is not like a tennis ball. It's not like a lacrosse ball. A pickleball is a wiffle ball. What does that mean? When it bounces, it slows down dramatically. So if you're trying to hit an overhead and you're trying to finish the point, end the point with the overhead, and your overhead is bouncing 6 feet inside of the baseline, by the time that ball reaches the baseline, it's not going to be traveling too fast. And higher level players are going to be able to get that ball back. So when I'm trying to finish the point with overheads, I'm trying to make my overhead bounce as close to the baseline as possible. You want to give yourself some margin for error, obviously, because if you miss the overhead, it's a really bad look because you're supposed to win that point anyway if you already have an overhead. But when you are aiming that overhead, I would be aiming maybe 2 feet from the baseline, maybe 3 feet to give yourself some margin of error. Go for depth, because the deeper that it bounces, the less it's going to be affected by that bounce, because that bounce, again, it slows the ball down. That's not good. Plus, the deeper that the ball bounces with an overhead, the more that ball will have a tendency to skid. So the pickleballs are, you know, it's a young sport. The balls aren't the highest of quality yet. Everything's kind of in flux and getting better. These balls don't always have the truest bounces. I'm sure we're all aware that the balls don't always have the truest bounces. And the deeper you can make the ball bounce, meaning the more linear of a trajectory of your overhead, the more likely it is to have a bad bounce, which is very important. So we're learning something new every day out here. And that's all that we got for today. If you have any questions, leave them in the comments. Check out my YouTube channel, Changing Nottowich Pickleball. And that's it. Thank you for watching.